Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you for your word. Lord, we ask and pray that you would just speak to us through your word. And we thank you again, Lord, for all that you do for us, Lord. We thank you for your mercies that are new each and every day. And we thank you for the grace you bestow upon us, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you want to open up to Joshua chapter 8, that'd be a good place, because that's where I'm going to be. Throat's a little dry today. Don't know why. Maybe because it's San Diego and it's dry. Didn't have to worry about being dry over there. It's quite humid. And this, I'll get to teach to you. This is, I shared this chapter with them. So I get to do it without a translator. The hard part of teaching the Word of God, if you're not used to teaching with a translator, where do I stop so that he can then say what I need to say? The gentleman that did the translation was the gentleman that was Elia from Austin, Texas. He did the translation for me. So he's very good, and we got to talk with one another a little bit prior to, but he was very good at just, you know, doing that translation. And that's what he does in Austin, is he translates from Japanese to English. So here he was translating what I was saying back to Japanese. So a little bit different than what he usually does, but that's what he does. And his kids, like Terry was saying, they're definitely, they were born, raised in the United States, so they're definitely more, we're not going to do that type of thing. But kids are kids. They were fun to talk to, though. They were very excited about just different things and being there and visiting and stuff. So, anyway, so Joshua chapter 8, we open up. Let's just go ahead and read through chapter 8 real quick. So now the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid nor dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise. Go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoil and its cattle you shall take as booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind it." So Joshua arose and all the people of the war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, "Behold, you shall lie in ambush against the city, behind the city. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you be ready. Then I and all the people who are with me, we will approach the city. And it will come about when they come out against us at the first, that we shall flee before them. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, 'They are fleeing before us as at the first. Therefore, we will flee flee at first. Therefore, we will flee before them.'" Joshua is explaining what they're going to say, and then this is what we're going to do. "Then you shall arise from ambush and seize the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it will be when you have taken the city that you shall set the city on fire. According to the commandment of the Lord you shall do. See, I have commanded you." Joshua therefore sent them out, and they went to lie in ambush and stayed between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. Then Joshua rose up early in the morning and mustered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people to Ai. And all the people of war who were with him went up and drew near. And they came before the city and camped on the north side of Ai. Now a valley lay between them and Ai. So he took about 5,000 men and sent them in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, all the army that was on the north of the city and its rear guard on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. Now it happened when the king of Ai saw it that the men of the city hurried and rose early and went out against Israel to battle. And battle, he and all his people, at the appointed place before the plain. But he did not know that there is an ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. So all the people who were in Ai were called together to pursue them, And they pursued Joshua and were drawn away from the city. There was not a man left in Ai or Bethel who did not go out after Israel. So they left the city open and pursued Israel. Then the Lord said to Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into your hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that was in his hand toward the city. So those in ambush rose quickly out of their place and ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered the city and took it and hurried to set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended to heaven. So they had no power to flee this way or that way. And the people who had fled to the wilderness turned back on the pursuers. Now when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, they turned back and struck down the men of Ai. Then the others came out of the city against them, so that they were caught in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side. And they struck them down so that they let none of them remain or escape. But the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass, when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness where they pursued them, and when they all had fallen by the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned to Ai and struck it with the edge of the sword. So it was that all who fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, all of the people of Ai. For Joshua did not draw back his hand with which he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the livestock and the spoil of the city Israel took as booty for themselves, according to the word of the Lord, which he had commanded Joshua. So Joshua burned Ai and made it a heap forever, a desolation to this day. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until evening. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that he should be taken, that they should take his corpse down from the tree, cast it at the entrance of the gate of the city, and raise over it a great heap of stones that remain to this day. Now Joshua built an altar to the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man has wielded an iron tool. And they offered on it burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And there, in the presence of the children of Israel, he wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written. Then all Israel, with their elders and officers and judges, stood on either side of the ark before the priests, the Levites who bore the ark of covenant of the Lord, the stranger as well as he who was born among them. Half of them were in front of Mount Gerizim, and half of them in front of Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that was written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers who were living among them. So that is Joshua chapter 8. And, of course, prior to this, in Joshua chapter 7, a little synopsis here. So Joshua is given command over the Israelites after Moses had passed. He was God's pick to Moses. So Joshua takes over. God had prepared them to do this thing around Jericho, to take Jericho. And a lot of the same similarities between, you know, some of the things that Joshua did or that God did through the command of Joshua as well as under the command of Moses. Of course, he parted the waters of the river running that they, gosh, why can't I remember the name of the river? Jordan. He parted the waters of the Jordan just as the Red Sea was parted for Moses. They laid up a pile of stones in the midst to be a sign or a memorial unto what God had done for them there. And then we see some similarity here where Joshua, even as Moses, raised his hands in battle. But we see some differences, too, in how the battle of Jericho went and then how this battle was to be fought. And then one of the things here that preceded this was we had a successful battle with Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down, and the Israelites marched in and took over that city. So then they go to pursue this, because this is the second battle with Ai. And in the first battle with Ai, obviously they had failed, and it was all because of one person within the camp, Achan, who had sinned by keeping some of the treasure from Jericho, which they were not commanded to keep, and he had hid it. So this was sin in the city, or within the Israelites, and this is why God was not with them in the first battle of Ai. And until this was dealt with, there was not going to be this help from God for them, because this is something God takes very seriously, obviously, is sin in our lives, sin that was in the midst of the camp of the Israelites. And so this is where we're going to pick up, is that we've just dealt with this sin, and what had been done to Achan and his family, is that they were their lives were taken. Not only Achan, but his family that was all involved, all who were affected and were known, knew that was what was going on. They were all taken, their lives were taken, and they were stoned and put to death. And so they dealt with the sin. And now, this is why in the beginning of chapter 8, God is assuring Joshua that do not be afraid nor dismayed. Take all the people of war with you. So God is encouraging Joshua here. So what about the sin in our own lives? This is kind of, you know, since this is where we're coming from, we have to ask that question. And so it's very, very much that we should deal with these things in our lives. That's why we're called to constantly examine our hearts and our thoughts and our intents and bring everything under the Lord. So that it can be dealt with. And it's not that you're not going to be tempted. I mean, we have the awesome thing is we have a living Savior that when you read in the book of Hebrews, he was tempted in every way that we were tempted. So he understands where we're coming from. He understands the temptations you're facing. He understands the weakness of the flesh. He understands these things. The other awesome thing is he did this without sin. So we know that it can be overcome. We know that we can deal with it. The point is are we going to deal with it? Oh, I hit the mic. Sorry. Are we going to deal with it? And this is what we're called to do. And we know in reading 1 John 1:9, if we are faithful and just to ask for forgiveness, he's faithful. And if we will come and confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But it really starts with us. It starts in our heart. It starts with just keeping this clean, keeping ourselves free of sin. You're not going to be free of temptation. And yes, you are going to sin. But what are you going to do with that sin? Are you going to hide it? Are you going to keep it someplace and try to imagine that the Lord doesn't see this or this isn't going to affect me? And this is the problem, is that when there is sin in our life, not only does it separate us from God, but you'll experience feelings of anxiety. You're going to be dismayed. You're going to have unexpected problems. You're going to be defeated. You're going to experience depression in your life, okay? These are things that are just natural to the fact that because you're a child of God and you are called into his family, when you have sin that's hidden in your life, that's just what it causes. And it doesn't only affect you. It affects the other people around you. Can affect your family, it affects your friends, it affects your relationships with other people at work and stuff like this. So, and we have a God who loves us and understands us, and he has a plan for us, and he has this plan to help defeat these things that are occurring in our life. So we have the Lord in verses 1 through 3 talking with Joshua and encouraging him. So God does not attach any other requirements to our sin other than to turn away from it in order to have a victorious life in him. So we don't have a God that's looking to condemn us. Jesus Christ even said in, John wrote in John chapter 3, verse 16, that, you know, that Jesus Christ came into the world. He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And then the verse after that is, I did not come into the world to condemn the world. I came into the world that the world might be saved. So we don't have a Savior that's here to condemn us. We have a Savior here that wants us to take on his yoke and learn of him. And he'll help us bear those burdens, and he'll make them easier on us. In other words, you're going to have burdens. You're going to have issues in your life. But he wants you to come alongside of him so that he can bear those up. God's forgiveness is complete. It is as far as the east is from the west, Psalms 103:12. This is probably one of the hardest things for us, is when we do come to the Lord for forgiveness, is forgiving ourselves, is forgetting that sin, you know, because we still have these minds that want to remember it. We have to remember, we serve a God who says, I remember it no more. I don't know how he does it. He's God. I'm not. But he forgets it, which is weird, but he does, you know. And when he says that, it's because he's starting new with you from that point on. When you ask God for forgiveness, it starts new right there. That's why every day, every morning is a new morning. It's a new day. He gives us certain commandments throughout the scriptures that, you know, not to go to sleep with your anger, and, you know, to, you know, check your heart before you go to bed. The next day is going to be a new day, guys. All right? And if we will just faithfully come to him and ask him to forgive us, he will forgive us. And then we start new. And but what if it happens again? It's new. God doesn't sit there and go, hey, how many times are you going to keep doing that? You know, it's like you just need to constantly come to him. There's going to come a victorious point at some point in your life. I don't know when that's going to be. I can't tell you. God knows. I don't know. Maybe it's to the point when you finally let go of it. Sometimes we hang on to sin. I don't know why we do, but we do. So I'm here to tell you and to encourage you, as the Lord is encouraging Joshua, your sin has been forgotten. Amen. Your sin is as far as the east is from the west. So forget it. In Psalms 119:156, great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Isaiah 54:7-8, for a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. God wants us to be victorious in the battles that we have in life. We have to check ourselves. In the New Testament, that's what it's all about when it says to show yourself approved. You're not trying to... Salvation is secure, okay? When I believe in the Lord and I accept him as my personal Lord and Savior, I'm saved. But we need to show ourselves approved every day. Not in the sense of our salvation, that's complete, but in the sense of where is my heart with the Lord that day. So, is there something within me that is keeping me separated from God, giving me victory over this particular battle that I'm in? So, and then in verses 3 through 17, how to defeat the enemy is basically what's going on here. This is an epic battle strategy portrayed in the Bible. It's one used by a lot of military action, has used this same ambush technique, this, setting up something on this side to be prepared to catch them in the middle. This is a studied strategy, and it's basically you're exploiting a weakness in your opponent that you can take it to your advantage. And this can even be in sports, you know. You have faking the guy out, you know, so that you can get the advantage on him. It's just really just trying to find a weakness in your opponent and take advantage of that. And that's basically what God hears. So what would have been Ai's weakness at this point? It would have been their pride. They've already defeated Israel once. So God was taking advantage of that. So this was why he gave Joshua this particular battle plan. It was like he already knew that They had defeated him once. They're going to be thinking in their head, we can do this again. So God sets up this whole thing here and wants to, he wants to give Israel the
victory.
What it is the victory isn't always going to come the same way. As we saw in the Battle of Jericho, what did they do there? That was almost completely, to a lot of us, that'd be nonsense. What? I'm just going to march around the city 7 times? Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to blow horns and we're going to praise the Lord? Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, and for Joshua, I'm sure, you know, same thing. Just like, okay, that's what we're going to do. And but it takes faith to walk in those things that God gives us. The bottom line is that the battle belongs to the Lord, all right? And that he is going to set the battle plan in motion. We just need to follow in faith that he will complete it to the victory that he wants to give to us. But the victory does belong to the Lord. And I think that's really what God's trying to get at here. It doesn't matter how the battle is going to occur, all right? We need to remember to give God the victory for the victory that we gain. It's nothing we do. And this is kind of what Joshua is realizing in this whole two different battle scenarios, is that it really isn't us doing it. This is God doing this, right? So, and it doesn't matter how it happens. So God's plan for defeating him may not always be the same. So, and that battle belongs to him. Psalms 24:8, who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Psalms 104:7, O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, you have covered my head in the day of battle. If we will but wait on the Lord and listen to wise counsel, God will provide the way to defeat the enemy or to avoid the traps of the enemy. Sometimes I have to read my notes because I don't always remember what I was going to say. I don't remember a lot of things anymore, but that's all right. I remember one thing, and that's God sits on the throne, and he's the Lord of my life, and that's all the importance I really need to remember. So, and then from verses 18 through 29, overcoming the enemy. This is important. There's a few things that I caught in here was Joshua's determined to defeat this enemy and kept his spear outstretched until the defeat was complete. He may have been remembering in the battle where Moses' arms were lifted up. Remember that? And then he had Hur on one side and I believe Joshua on the other side keeping his arms up. God didn't even tell him. He just said, stretch out your hand. But Joshua kept it out there until Ai was completely defeated. One of the things that came to my mind on this is that when God has given us a plan to carry out, to defeat something, a battle or something that's going on, do it to its completion. Don't think, because remember here, there's only 12,000 of them that were killed that day. Now, Israelites' forces were much larger than 12,000. So to them, in one sense, Ai could be appear to them as like, this is a small thing. And maybe that also, they had pride in that first battle too. Ai wasn't a large city to overcome. 12,000 is a small thing. But we must never underestimate the enemy and the ability to catch us unaware. If you are given something to deal with in your life, deal with it completely. Don't ever underestimate that small thing that is in your life. Nothing that is contrary to God is a small thing. We are always to overcome completely, never halfway. So, and then Ai tried to find some stuff on him. Obviously, we have to trust in God in these things. One of the things I was given as some information is that they definitely were practicing sacrificing their children to the god of Molech. That's a sad thing. It's a sad thing for our own country. I just pray about that. I mean, you guys have heard about New York State passing that law that you can even abort up to the day that the child is born. That's a pretty sad place for our country. And the fact that they stood and applauded that, oh, it just tears my heart out. But also, don't think that these 12,000 that passed were easy for the Lord to pass that judgment on them. You have to remember that God created each and every one of us for a relationship with Him. Anytime God has to pass judgment on His creation, especially us, who were created in His image to have a relationship with Him, don't think God takes that lightly. This is something that needs to be done, but this is also a sad day for Him. This isn't how He would want it. Remember the story of Jonah and how Jonah resisted because those people in Nineveh, Lord, they're wicked, okay? But God wanted them to hear the word one more time. And beyond Jonah's wildest imaginations, they repented. So God is always looking for repentance. Don't think that these judgments that God passes happen easily for Him. They were obviously given a long stretch of time. I mean, the first time we see Ai is in Genesis chapter 12, verse 8, where when Abram was asked by God to leave his family and his country and to travel as he camped right here in the same place, Ai to one side, Bethel to the other. And he raised an altar to God for the promise that this land would be given to his descendants. So Abraham didn't know at the time what all was going to come about of this. And obviously these guys were already, you know, a fairly large city to be mentioned. And they were already, you know, doing whatever they were doing. But it isn't God's desire to take any human life, any life that He's created for a relationship with Him. But He is a just God. He is a righteous God. And once He makes a decision, it's a decision final because He's a God who is omniscient. He's all-knowing, and He's, you know, can see, obviously, He's outside of time. So He knows how what the outcome of Ai was going to be, and it was just time for their destruction. And plus, this land was going to be given over to the children of Israel, as God had promised Abram. So we have to be trusting in God. We can't always know what the answer is as to why did that person have to die or why did this happen over here, just as Jesus said to the Israelites that were asking Him about a tower that had fallen over and some other incident occurred that took people's lives. What was the sin in their life? And Christ said, you know, be concerned for your own life and where you're at in your relationship with God. These kinds of decisions, you know, God is aware of it. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's the worst case scenario, but we have to trust that God knows why these things are done. So, the other thing here is this overcoming the enemy. We are constantly ourselves. We're in battles every day. That's another reason we need to keep our own lives in check. We're battling for family. We're battling for friends. We're battling for co-workers and people that we run into or we meet. We're constantly praying for people. We're lifting up our holy hands. We're praying without ceasing. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 1 Timothy 2:8 for lifting up holy hands. And then we're encouraged not to weary in doing well. Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And then a very, very important part of this whole scenario. So we have encouragement from the Lord. We have the battle plan is laid out. We have overcoming the enemy. And then here is something that Joshua did at the end here is he's honoring the Lord for the victory. And he's bringing the people back to the Word of God. And so they set up, interesting thing is they set this altar up on They got between the two mountains, Mount Ebal. Half of them were over there. Half of them were at Mount Gerizim. From what I read, I haven't been there. But the way this particular valley between these two mountains is laid out is there's limestone walls. There's carving. It's kind of, you know, I don't know if it's naturally seated that way, but you can sit. It creates like a natural amphitheater. You can be on one mountain and hear what someone is saying on the other one. Okay, it's just natural acoustics that carries the voice. So this is where they gathered together. And the amazing thing is the altar is built on Mount Ebal, which is the Mount of Cursings. That's from where they read all the cursings. And then you had Mount Gerizim. Gerizim is where they read all the blessings. So what's interesting is that altar is placed on the Mount of Cursings. Even in the midst of our sin, even in the midst of when we are failing or not, God is there with us. God wants us to ask for forgiveness. He's ready to forgive. All right? So they raise up this altar on Mount of Cursings, and Joshua knew that the commandments and the statute of the Lord were true, and those that followed them and honored them would prevail. We read this in Joshua 1:8. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. What it comes down to is they read the entire law. Gosh, could you imagine how long that took? And they did both the blessings and the cursings. And I don't know if they did a one-for-one or if they just did all these and did all these. I'd kind of like a one-for-one. I don't think I'd want to end my day with the cursings. Or maybe they began with those and ended with the blessings. But to sit there and literally go through all that Moses had written in the book, in the laws, and for them to take heed to all that. And then he wrote all of that on the stones. Can you imagine how long that took? Just to write all the word of God on the stones of the altar. Because Joshua knew that the word of God and that his law was right and true. And this is a reminder to us to be in the word of God. This is a reminder and to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, Colossians 3:16. So being in the Word of God is where our victory comes from. Conforming ourselves to that which is written, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2:5. And then take time to thank God for all he does for us and all that he will do. Psalms 104, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. We have this awesome thing that happened when Christ gave his life on the cross and said it was finished. And the curtain was torn in two from the top to the bottom. We have the Holy of Holies is forever we can enter in by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have that unique relationship that we have with Christ through that, what God had provided. And I just pray that we wouldn't take that lightly and that we would check ourselves each and every day and that you would allow God to speak to you, find counsel if you need counsel, you're dealing with something, you have other brothers and sisters that you can talk to, find someone you can confide in, come to the elders, but certainly don't feel as though you're alone in this battle. I mean, that's why we're here together, is we're here as a family to not only come together to praise the Lord, but come together to come alongside one another. And I'm sure if Tony didn't set you guys back down, you guys probably could have fellowshiped this entire time. So. And that's a good thing. That's a good sign. It's a good sign to see the fellowship of the brothers and sisters. So let's take time to praise the Lord. The worship team wants to come back up. That was short, wasn't it? Or is that long?
Good.
Just right. Okay. So it all worked out. See, I didn't even watch the clock. But just thank God for this day. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you for your word. We ask and pray, Lord, Father God, that we would find ourselves in your word daily, Lord. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever it is, Lord, Father God, let us get your word into our hearts, into our minds, that we might meditate on it day and night, Lord. That we might have your mind, Lord, Father God, through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would just be with us, Lord, in these battles that we have in life. Help us to check ourselves each and every day, Lord. And we just thank you again for all that you do. And we give you the honor and the glory that's due your name. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.